Good morning, and welcome to the Prescott Daily Courier. This is your Sun Sounds volunteer reader, Babs Felix, with the Prescott Daily Courier. Today, I'll be reading articles dated February 19th, 2025. Here are today's headlines. Mingus Mountain named in lawsuit alleging sexual abuse by staff members. Legislative committee takes first step toward removing lawmaker immunity for traffic violations. And fraud case leads FBI to Havasu weapons ring involving pastor, felon prepping for civil war. And here are your details. Mingus Mountain named in lawsuit alleging sexual abuse by staff members by Deborah Winters. Mingus Mountain Youth Treatment Center, located on Don Carlos Drive in Prescott Valley, has been named in a 55-page lawsuit based on 13 alleged victims claiming to have been sexually assaulted or abused by staff members. We still have cases coming forward. Abuse has been ongoing as late as 2022 and as far back as 2011 regarding the women we're currently representing, said Ashley Crowell, who was one of the attorneys representing the women in the lawsuit claiming to be victims. Mingus Mountain is a private, alternative, all-girls behavioral health campus. It also houses a youth treatment center that's licensed by the Arizona Department of Health Services that helps emotionally challenged teens. According to the lawsuit, the alleged 13 victims experienced horrifying sexual abuse. Additional victims are expected to be coming forward, Crowell said. The women who filed this lawsuit hail from Arizona and across the country. They were not at the academy together, and this situation has been ongoing for a long stretch of time, he said. The legal names of the individuals included in this article are being withheld. The names being used are fictitious. These women dealt with the worst of the worst, and they're taking a stand so it doesn't happen to other girls, Crowell said. One of the cases involves a girl, victim number one, who was 15 at the time. She said she was sexually assaulted by the same male staff member approximately 80 times. As stated in the complaint, on several occasions, two other staff members would join in. Victim number one was also told by the same employee that if she didn't shut up, she wouldn't be able to go home. On other occasions, victim one was sexually abused by a female behaviorist health therapist, along with two other male staff members, on approximately 10 different occasions, the lawsuit states. Also in the complaint, the staff members would take victim one out of the center and away from cameras, throw her in the snow, and forcefully restrain her with their body weight. As well, on many occasions, victim one would be forced to touch private parts of the male employees. And other times, while being restrained, male staff members would assault her by groping her private parts, the suit details. The female behaviorist as well was present and would take turns restraining the girls while making sexual comments to her. During other occasions, one of the male staff members would slam victim one down on the ground, causing several physical injuries, as well as drag her by her hair through cacti and rocks, causing scarring on her knees and hands. Another female plaintiff, victim two, also 15 at the time, had an appointment with her case manager and had notified a male staff member so she could be escorted per Mingus policy. The staff member then told the girl that they had to stop at the chapel first because the pastor wanted to meet her. At the time, victim two had reached mountain lion status, or top-notch status, and was close to returning home. While in the chapel, the staff member spoke to the girl about leaving the facility soon and that it would be unfortunate for her to lose her status and not be allowed to leave. He then began groping victim two underneath her clothing and then sexually assaulted and raped her, the suit states. No report was made of the sexual assault, and no remedial actions were taken against the staff member. According to the Yavapai County Sheriff's Office, YCSO, there were 25 calls to Mingus Mountain Youth Treatment Center in the last 3 months and 19 arrests. The nature of some of the calls include two sexual offenses that were unfounded with no arrests, 7 assaults with 8 arrests, and 1 disorderly call with 4 arrests. The YCSO deputies are familiar with Mingus Mountain for a variety of reasons, including calls for service, outreach, and treatment, Sheriff David Rhodes said. According to Mingus, the claims being brought against the treatment center are unproven allegations. Mingus officials said in a statement, "To date, Mingus and its team has seen no evidence to support the allegations. Mingus Mountain and its parent company, Vivant Behavioral Healthcare, plan to vigorously defend in court the organization and the excellent care it provides." Legislative Committee takes first step toward removing lawmaker immunity for traffic violations, by Howard Fisher and Bob Christie. Phoenix. Governor Katie Hobbs says Senator Jake Hoffman was not entitled to legislative immunity to avoid being cited last month for driving 24 miles an hour over the speed limit. Ditto, she said, of any other lawmaker stopped in the past or in the future by state troopers for going that fast. The governor on Wednesday cited a 2018 executive order signed by Doug Ducey, her predecessor, that remains in effect. That order directs the Department of Public Safety to consider criminal speeding to be considered a breach of the peace. That offense is defined as driving more than 25 miles per hour over the speed limit. What makes that significant is that the constitutional provision that exempts lawmakers from arrest before and during each legislative session has 3 exceptions: treason, felony, and breach of the peace. Ducey's order, issued in the wake of a lawmaker being stopped but not ticketed because he claimed constitutional privilege for driving 97 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour zone, applies only to police employed by the state. That includes both DPS and sworn officers of the Department of Transportation. It is clear in some recent cases that the peace has been breached, and we have a responsibility to enforce the law in these cases, Ducey wrote. Hobbs told Capital Media Services that order remains in effect. The governor acknowledged that nothing in the 2018 order mandates that officers issue a citation, which is a form of arrest in every circumstance. The governor said she agrees with that. I'm not going to tell officers stopping folks on the highway how to do their job, she said. And I know that there's a certain amount of discretion that's used, regardless who's involved. Nor would she say that the officer who pulled over Hoffman, a Queen Creek Republican, at 11:30 a.m. driving away from the Capitol on U.S. 60 at 89 miles an hour in his Tesla Cybertruck did anything improper in deciding to give Hoffman only a warning. But Hobbs said that immunity for traffic citations makes no sense. And she is backing a proposal to ask voters to amend the constitutional protection to strip lawmakers of the ability to avoid citations for any traffic violations at all, not just those issued by DPS, but by any law enforcement agency that pulls them over. I think our lawmakers, people that are elected to pass laws, should be held at a minimum, the same standards as everyone else, if not a higher standard, she said. A proposal to do exactly that cleared its way through its first hurdle Wednesday, as was approved by the House Judiciary Committee on a 6-3 margin. The proposal from Representative Quang Nguyen, Republican Prescott Valley, was introduced after State Senator Mark Fincham, a Republican who represents the same district as Nguyen, sought to have the ticket he was issued last month dismissed under the current constitutional provision. Fincham wrote to Prescott's police chief after being ticketed for going 49 miles per hour in a 30 mile per hour zone, asking for the ticket to be rescinded, and it was. But it's not just about Fincham. 3 days before Fincham was cited, Hoffman got out of a speeding ticket after a state trooper recognized him and decided not to issue the citation because he was a lawmaker. The Department of Public Safety said he was clocked at traveling 89 miles per hour in a 65 mile per hour zone on US 60 in Mesa on January 22nd. And last year, Senator Justine Wadsack, a Tucson Republican, got Tucson police to not give her a citation after she was driving 71 in a 35 mile per hour zone. But her relief was temporary, as she was cited after the legislative session ended. On Wednesday, both Republicans and Democrats on the committee that Nguyen chairs backed his proposal and said there's no justification for lawmakers to get blanket immunity from arrest, which includes traffic citations, just because of the office that they hold. Fraud case leads FBI to have a sue weapons ring involving pastor and a felon prepping for civil war, by Brandon Messick. A convicted felon accused of running a fraudulent health scheme was also allegedly manufacturing illegal weapons with the help of a local pastor, arming for a potential civil war. One of the defendants in the ongoing fraud and conspiracy case is also believed to have been involved in an illegal weapons manufacturing operation in Lake Havasu City. And, according to federal court documents this month, a local pastor aided him in that operation. That scheme was allegedly uncovered in 2022 by undercover federal investigators in the case, as FBI agents allegedly spoke with defendants Fred Blakely, 60, and Mary Blakely, 75, in recorded conversations. According to U.S. prosecutors in Pennsylvania's Eastern District, investigation into the defendant's potentially fraudulent businesses in multiple states ultimately led federal agents to discover that Fred Blakely worked with his family's pastor in Havasu, who was not named in U.S. court documents as of Tuesday, to manufacture firearms on the pastor's property and distribute those weapons statewide. Neither U.S. court documents nor federal authorities have identified that pastor as of Tuesday evening. The undercover operations established that Fred Blakely maintained a workshop in a garage on his pastor's property in which he collected, built, and modified firearms, said U.S. Attorney Jacqueline Romero in a February 5th motion to stay release conditions for the defendants. A search of this facility resulted in the recovery of about 30 firearms and 30,000 rounds of ammunition. The feds report the FBI investigation revealed fraud, illegal weapons manufacture. Prosecutors say that Fred Blakely's alleged weapons stockpile included an AR-15 rifle with a full auto modifications, as well as a semi-automatic shotgun. In a conversation recorded May 17, 2023, Mary Blakely allegedly described the weapons manufacturing operation to undercover FBI agents. Fred Blakely and the pastor have been making guns, Mary Blakely was quoted in Romero's argument against possible release for the defendants. Thousands of guns. We're arming Arizona. They've got a big garage. Fred and the pastor are making guns for the world. They're arming America. Fred and Mary Blakely were both previously convicted in Nevada's U.S. District Court in 1997 on charges of conspiracy to possess and distribute methamphetamine. Both have been prohibited from possessing firearms for more than 25 years. You're listening to the Prescott Daily Courier from the Flagstaff Studios of Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds programming is directed to those who cannot use print material due to a disability. Listen to our live streams and learn how you can support us at the website sunsounds.org. You can also hear Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. Swap Don't Shop event to be held on Saturday, February 22nd. The original Swap Don't Shop event is back by popular demand this year and will be held from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday, February 22nd at the Stone Ridge Community Center in Prescott. The event is sponsored by Philanthropic Education Organization Chapter FH to raise funds for women's education locally, nationally, and internationally. Women are invited to bring 10 clothing items, pay $10, and receive 10 tokens to shop for beautiful, gently used clothes, jewelry, and accessory, all for $1 each. It's like your good friend says to you, hey, you know that fabulous blue dress of mine that you've always loved? You can have it for a dollar, stated Susie Jacobson, PEO co-chair. There will be snacks to enjoy and themed baskets to win in a drawing. Additional tokens are available for $1 apiece for those who want to buy more than 10 items. By donating used items, attendees and the members of Chapter FH PEO raise funds for women's scholarships and save the earth. Did you know that a simple poly cotton shirt takes from 20 to 200 years to decompose in landfills all over the world? That's because polyester is not biodegradable. So why send those clothes you don't wear anymore to the landfill? Next, we'll turn to the features page of the Prescott Daily Courier, starting with To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Dear Dr. Roach, I am an 88-year-old man who has been taking Tamsulosin twice daily for several years because of benign prostatic hyperplasia, or BPH. In October of 2023, my urologist added finasteride once daily. 1 year later, in October 2024, I developed extreme tenderness on my left breast that wrapped around my left side. I had a routine visit with my cardiologist who told me it was a side effect of finasteride. The cardiologist told me to stop taking it immediately and advise my urologist about my decision. I advised his nurse, who advised him, but I heard nothing further from him. My cardiologist advised me that the tenderness would be gone in a week or so. It abated, but it still hasn't gone away completely. I spoke with my primary care physician several weeks after the side effects lingered. She emphatically said that the side effects would go away, but didn't say when. What is your opinion on these lingering side effects? Answer: Finasteride works by blocking the enzyme that converts regular testosterone to dihydrotestosterone, or DHT. DHT is active in enlarging the prostate and affecting hair follicles, which leads to male pattern baldness. Thus, finasteride is used for these two conditions. Most men don't get side effects, but enlargement of the breast tissue, or gynecomastia, is a known side effect of finasteride. About 3% of men will develop this, with the usual 5 milligram dose of finasteride that is used for prostate enlargement, compared to 1.8% of men on placebo. The breast tissue can be affected on one or both sides and is sometimes painful. It usually goes away after stopping the medicine. Unfortunately, there are cases when the breast enlargement does not go away even after months have passed. Medications such as tamoxifen or raloxifene have been successful, but some men have had to get the breast tissue removed. A combination of surgical excision and liposuction is the standard way of removing unwanted breast tissue in men. Dear Dr. Roach, I am 80 and in very good physical shape. I walk 10 to 20 miles or more on hiking trails weekly, even though I have a pacemaker. I fell down our stairs hauling boxes and hurt my knee. I developed a Baker's cyst on the back of it that is the size of a tennis ball. I have gone to an orthopedic doctor and had an ultrasound and x-rays done, but nothing showed up. As I understand it, a Baker's cyst comes about because of excess fluid in the knee, but they can't find the cause of the excess fluid. Is it a torn meniscus, arthritis, or a torn ligament like an ACL? Can I have an MRI done on my knee if I have a pacemaker? Would it be smart to get a second opinion to find the cause and recommend treatment like surgery? I can only walk to the mailbox and I'm in a lot of pain. Answer. A Baker's cyst is a fluid-filled sac behind the knee. In older adults, they are nearly always the result of knee damage. Almost every patient I've had with a Baker's cyst has had an osteoarthritis of the knee, but they can occur as a result of injuries such as the fall that you had. Many people with Baker's cysts have no symptoms, but if they are painful like yours, orthopedic surgeons will usually try an injection. However, given your injury, I'm a bit surprised they didn't order an MRI, which usually can be done in people with newer pacemakers. Talk to your cardiologist about this. If your cardiologist gives the okay, it's fine to go back to your first orthopedic surgeon and ask them about it. In severe cases, surgery can be done. You have been listening to the Prescott Daily Courier, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. This is your volunteer reader, Babs Felix, wishing you a wonderful rest of your day, and thank you so much for listening today. And stay tuned for more interesting programming coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona.